my lifetime. I will give God my lifetime. My lifetime. I will give God my lifetime. If I give God my life. Never let me down if I give God my lifetime. My lifetime. Never let me down if I give God my lifetime.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Father, we bless your name for today. Thank you because it is your will to give us the kingdom. We pray that you might open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody must have broken your heart. So much so that you may have sworn never to forgive the person till grave. Not only that, I see a language in the contemporary church today. People say, anyone who says I shall not prosper shall never see progress. And I see people make this statement even from the pulpit, and the people in the pew will echo amen. There seems to be a prayer of returning fire to fire. People now are returning fire to fire. And some people are saying, may all those who attack me die. Some other people will say, fight those who fight me. As I look at this comment, I begin to see that this is not a New Testament church language. It is a religious fact, fabricated for selfish ends and not according to the heart and pattern of God. It becomes very necessary today that we consider a very important topic. And my topic today is going to be in the form of question. And it says, should I still forgive him? Should I still forgive him? Certain people, I believe, and it is very true that there are people who will tempt you. They will tempt you to make satanic decisions. They will tempt you to swear never to forgive them till eternity comes. Somebody might begin to question. Somebody might ask the following questions. You might say, preacher, he stole my money and ran away. My business got broke because of him. Preacher, should I still forgive him? I was a millionaire. I was a Tanzanian. God blessed my business. And I brought this young man as a boy in my office, in my market, in my shape. And this very boy decided to squander my money. He stole my money and ran away with my money. Right now, my business has been kwashokod. I mean, my business has been crippled, consequent upon the fact that this young man stole my money. Right now, preacher, do you mean in this very earth I should ever, ever forgive him? Somebody might say, preacher, my case is different. He falsely accused me of sin. Heaven knows that I didn't commit this thing. But this man accused me. He vehemently accused me and said that I committed that when I didn't do anything. Do you think in this life I should ever forgive this man who falsely accused me? And somebody might say, preacher, I was engaged to be married to this man. Every other suitor made a U-turn when they realized that I've been hooked, sort of. He became the talk of the town. I mean, people were expecting our wedding cards because we had been engaged. But preacher, let me tell you a story. One black morning, I received a black letter. Instead of dear sweet name, he was calling me. He said, dear sister, read this letter. Pray very well before you read this letter. This is to let you know that that thing will no longer hold. If you see another husband, marry. May God provide you another husband. Preacher, I read this letter 6 times in 2 minutes. Behold, the letter was the letter. I pinned myself to know whether it was a hallucination or whether it was in the land of the living. Behold, the letter made the letter. The true position is that the engagement has been broken. At the 0 hour, preacher, don't you think it is enough excuse to hate this brother with eternal hatred until death do us part in this life? Don't you think that if I ever see him in the church leading in song, to me, it will look as if a physical Satan is leading in song? Don't you think that he's the devil's incarnate? Don't you think he has broken my heart? Do you think I should ever greet him if he dares greet me? Don't you think I should turn my 2 eyes into an emergency gun to shoot him to death for such an ugly thing he did to my life? Should I still forgive him, preacher? Do you mean I should forgive this wicked person? And a pastor might say, preacher, this committee member opposes me. This executive member opposes me every day in the committee meeting. Any point I will raise, he must oppose me. Don't you think I should use a political device to edge him out of this committee? Don't you think I should edge him out? He opposes me. Don't you think I should campaign? Don't you think I should spoil his name in order to make sure I have my way? Should I still forgive him? And somebody might say, preacher, I am a woman. We were joining the church. But could you believe that this man, he slaps me? Even yesterday, he gave me a dirty slap. And he said, if I dared report to the pastor, he will sack me, he will divorce me, and even leave the church. Preacher, do you think I should ever forgive this man. And a man might say, this woman I married ran away from my house. He ran away when things were bad. When there was economic crunch, he ran away. And right now they are talking about reconciliation because God has started blessing me. Preacher, do you think I should ever, ever forgive or accept this woman again? And somebody might say, preacher, my life partner had an affair with another person and he was caught. That is, my life partner had extramarital sex with another man, with another woman, and they were caught in the act. Oh, preacher, don't you think I have now a biblical backing to go for a divorce, to send this man, to send this woman out of my life? Should I still forgive him? Another person might say, this wicked man does not give me money for food. Do you think I should ever forgive him? If I struggle and sell granite, if I struggle and sell what I do in order to get money and cook in this house, do you think this man should eat? If he dares eat, don't you think I should pray that something should strike him in the throat while he's eating this food, since he does not give me money for food? And somebody might say, she denies me of my conjugal right. When I call him, he doesn't respond. When I call her, she doesn't respond. Preacher, do you think I should ever forgive the person? And somebody might say, he wanted to lure me to sin the other day, except that the Lord delivered me from her hands, from his hand. Preacher, such a person who has become an instrument in the hand of the devil, do you think I should ever, ever forgive him? And somebody might say, preacher, you see, this is my wicked uncle. My present state of illiteracy was caused by him. He had enough money to train me in higher institutions. He had enough money to train me in a good handwork, but he blatantly refused. And now, God has helped me that I got some money. Do you think any kobo, any sefer, any kobo, any dollar from me will ever, ever, ever reach this wicked man who refused to train me in school? Do you think, preacher, that I should ever, ever forgive him? And somebody might say, he refused to talk to me since many years now. He has never spoken to me. Should I forgive him? If I greet him, he doesn't respond. Do you think I should ever forgive him? Imagine this person, my junior. He's very junior to me. If I greet him, he doesn't respond. Preacher, do you think I will tolerate nonsense because of Christianity? And some other person might say, he stripped us of our father's landed property. In the village, every land belonging to our father, this man has claimed. In the town, all the plot belonging to our father, this man has claimed. Do you think the battle on this earth will not be between this man and ourselves? Preacher, are you saying that we should ever forgive him? Somebody else might say, evangelist, he killed my elder brother. We were rightly told by an eyewitness that he killed my father. He killed my mother. He killed my wife with poison. Oh, don't you think I will pursue this man until I eliminate him? Don't you think that this man is not worthy to live in this life? And somebody might say, the other day I committed an offense. I appear before the church board. Every member of the committee wanted to release me. But do you see Deacon Tibo? He insisted that I must be disciplined, that I must be suspended. Even the pastor wanted to release me, but Deacon Tibo, he insisted that I must be disciplined. Preacher, don't you think from now onwards, the battle in this church will be between myself and this deacon, since he has insisted? And somebody might say, this is my mother-in-law. When my husband was about marrying me, this very wicked mother-in-law. He said, I cannot come into that house, that it will be over her dead body. Over her dead body. This my present husband will ever marry me. But at last, by the grace of God, we got married. And now, I am the queen of the mansion. I am the queen of the house. Preacher, don't you think whenever she visits, I should not even give him a rice food? I should not even allow her to sleep for one night. If she dare sleep, the kind of food I will give to her will be a terrible one. Should I still forgive her? And somebody might say, preacher, this troublesome co-tenant, is after me every day. This my neighbor in the market is after me. After all, what do I do? Does he feed me? What connection have I? And some people will use the Igbo proverb, right? They say, Njihua Jihu, Kebobekwe. And that is a very satanic quotation which comes from the heart of hell. And somebody might say, this man did not support my candidature. Because of that, I failed this election. Do you think I should ever forgive him? Somebody who did not support my candidate. And somebody might say, he opposed my candidature, and at last I won the election. I have now been voted. Don't you think I should use this opportunity to nail him to his coffin? And somebody might say, the carelessness of this medical officer caused the death of my relation, caused the death of my mother, caused the death of my friend, caused the death of my son. Do you think I will ever forgive this medical officer? And somebody else might say, this man disvirginated my daughter, impregnated my daughter, and even refused to marry her. Should I still forgive this man? Don't you think I should pursue him? Don't you think I should go and hire killers to eliminate this man for what he has done to me? And somebody might say, in fact, there are people, I don't know, my listener, if you are the person, you have decided to leave the church in order to have the chance to retaliate. You said, instead of me not to retaliate, I better leave the church. I better get back to the world in order to retaliate. And somebody might say, he divided my church and broke away. He broke away. He took my members away. Don't you think I should place a perpetual curse on him? Well, we see this situation. I am aware of the fact that I've not read any scriptures. God is not a one-way traffic. I'm going to read the scripture at the middle of this message. It is intentional. Listen, maybe because of this fact, you've taken your decision. You develop malice and hatred because of these things. How can this relationship exist? How can this type of condition exist? And we come to the same church, pray together, take the same communion. Why? And you put on white clothes while your heart is black. Shake hypocritical hands. Expect to go to heaven. Or maybe you sing in the same band. Or maybe you come to the same committee meeting, executive meeting. Or maybe you become the same partner in the ministry. While this type of situation is existing, no wonder many will go to church and still go to hell. When you see the person, you feel an inner remorse, as if you have seen a physical Satan or enemy. And the question is there heaven at all? I want to take you to the scriptures. Let's get back to the Bible and know what God has said and know the mind of God concerning this matter. Turn with me to the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I'm reading verse 20. Matthew gospel chapter 5. Let every personal philosophy be lie, but let the word of God be the truth. God will not tell us to do an impossible thing, but he will tell you to do a difficult thing. Take it again. God will not tell you to do an impossible thing, but He will tell you to do a difficult thing. Matthew 5:20 says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Nobody will go to heaven by surprise. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, Mark verse 23 of Matthew chapter 5, "Therefore, if thou bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thee and thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, for be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." What does he say? If you bring your gift, signing a check of 1 million, and you bring this gift to the altar, a gift that will attract recognition. You know, in many churches now, the easiest way to be recognized is to give money. When you give the mission, you will be highly recognized. You might even be given a special seat in the church because you get money. You may have gotten the money through 419. You may have gotten the money through pushing of coke. But as far as you can sign a big check to the church, you will be a treasurable member of the church with special recognition. May God deliver the church from decay in the name of Jesus Christ. What we're trying to say, he said, if you bring such a gift to the altar, you may bring a cow. If you bring a gift of 1 million to the altar, and there on the altar, you remember that somebody has something against you. You remember there is somebody you have not reconciled with. You remember there is something you have broken his heart. You remember there is somebody you are not at peace with. You remember that you have aught. Somebody has aught against you. It don't even say you remember that you have something against somebody, but it said you remember that somebody has something against you. Somebody you have extorted his money. Somebody you have cheated. Somebody you have broken his heart. Somebody you have broken your engagement with. The Bible says, leave that gift. Denunciate God. God is not interested. Leave your money. Leave your check. Leave your cow. Go and reconcile with the person. Go and reconcile with that person. Then come and offer thy gifts. And if you read verse 43, it says, "You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." The Bible says, pray for them. What do I mean by prayer? It's not, "Father, you see this man, I didn't do him anything. He's been against me. Well, God, vengeance belongs to you." Or you get into your inner chamber and say, "God, arise, arise, fight, fight, oh God, fight, oh God, fight, fight. Fire to fire, fire, fire to fire. As he has been plotting against me, oh God, send fire to him." Thank God that God is not obligated to answer your prayers. He's not obligated to answer your prayers. It's not the kind of prayer we're talking about. It's not fight them who fight me. Anybody who prays that prayer has a question called Christianity. Now, if you read the Bible very, very well, he says in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Pray for them who persecute you." And even in Romans, quickly, the Bible has an answer in Romans chapter 12. If you read Romans chapter 12, verse 14, you will see God expressing something very important along this line. Romans 12, verse 14, he said, "Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. But be not wise in your own conduct. And verse 17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. As much as it lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And I just want to draw your attention to Jesus. If you read Matthew chapter 23, verse number 24, they came to crucify him. They have all spit on him. They told him, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. I don't know what Jesus saw, but he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They are against me, but Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. I thank God for that prayer. And let me tell you, my friend, if those who are against you, if their eyes could be opened, in fact, they will not attack you. They are attacking you because their eyes have not been opened. They are attacking you because they are blinded. And if you can pray the prayers of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they are doing. If they understood, if they will understand, they wouldn't have attacked you the way they are doing. And so what are we really trying to say? We're saying, even Stephen came and followed the same pattern. When they were stoning Stephen, when they were persecuting Stephen, Stephen did not say, God, send down fire, send down thunder from above. Stephen said, Father, do not count this as sin unto them. Don't count this as sin unto them. And that was very wonderful. That was very wonderful. The prayers. A wonderful prayer by somebody whose heart has been touched. Let's pause a bit and turn to the other side.